If you look with me in Matthew, this is where Jesus is speaking during the Sermon on the Mount. And I've been stuck there the last couple of weeks because there's so much said we're all familiar with. Sometimes, though, I think we get so familiar with it that we lose the meaning. And so Jesus, all during the Sermon on the Mount, he's telling us, do this and do this and don't do this and don't do this. And he's giving us an example of what it looks like to be a child of God. And so look with me in verse 14 is a verse that we're all very familiar with. And I want us to just think about this a minute. And I want us to just go on and look at the Sermon on the Mount and how this verse is reflecting all the rest of what Jesus is saying. In verse 14 he says this, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. And neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Now, let me ask you something. Jesus is saying, let your light shine. Let your light shine. See, he is painting a picture that we live in a dark world that needs light. And more lately, it has become impressed upon me that our world is growing darker and darker. We need the light of God shining in this world. And here's what I want you to see. You and I are the only torches that are going to shine that light. You are the light of the world. You are, and I am. And we're to shine for Jesus. Now, look what he says here. He says, do men take a light? Imagine lighting a lamp. Back then they didn't have electricity, but lighting a lamp and then sticking a bowl over it. Jesus said, is that what people do? Of course not. What happens to that lamp when you put the bowl over it? It's going to snuff it out, isn't it? And that light is going to do no one any good. Why in the world would we do that? And yet, I believe Jesus gives that example because he knows that's what a lot of his people are going to do with the light that is within them. As silly as it is to light a lamp and then put a bowl over it, you and I go out into a dark world that needs to see the light of God, and you know what we do? We go out there with our light shining and stick a bowl over it. And we do it out of fear, out of intimidation. I can't let my light shine at work. I'll get in trouble. I might lose my job. I cannot let my light shine among my friends. They might make fun of me or decide they don't want to be my friends anymore. Y'all, that's what we do. We get intimidated. And listen, that's the shape we're in right now. The church is not letting its light shine. We're under a bowl. And the world's looking at us, wondering, what in the world are y'all doing? The world should not have to wonder what happens within the doors of the church. Because they ought to see Jesus Christ in our lives enough that they know what's going on. But it's not happening today. You are the light of the world. And then Jesus spends the whole rest of the Sermon on the Mount defining what it means to let your light shine. Now I want to just pull out a couple of examples because we don't have time to go through the whole Sermon on the Mount. But I want you, if you would, look down with me at chapter 5, verse 38. We're going to jump down there. Now, before we get there, let me tell you this. The Bible declares, if we're going to let our light shine, we have to understand something. We were dead in trespasses and sin, the Bible says. But when we surrender our life to Christ, the Bible says our spirit is made alive in Christ. And all of a sudden, when you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ and your spirit has been made alive, you end up with two natures that are fighting within you. And I don't have to explain this to you because every one of us knows this by experience. We have what the Bible calls the natural man that's within us. And boy, that natural man gives me a lot of trouble, doesn't he, you? And then we have the spiritual man. And the whole point to all of this is that Jesus said, if your light's going to shine, that spiritual man has to come forth, and we have to put down that natural man. And then he goes on describing what this is going to look like. So look with me in verse 38 here. Look what he says. And believe me, a bunch of this applies to this, but I'm just pulling out a couple of verses out of the Sermon on the Mount. Verse 38, you have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now, what I want you to see is, what is our natural response? What does that natural man do? If somebody slaps you on your right cheek, that's right. We're going to pay it back twice as hard, right? That's our natural response. And can I tell you something? Here's the problem. We have people that claim to know Jesus, that claim to be children of God, and yet this kind of a response is missing in the church today. We have not gotten that far. We think it's okay. Last Sunday I talked about a broad road and a narrow road. We think it's okay to live like the rest of the world. We think it's okay if somebody slaps us on the right cheek, you just knock them in the nose. That's what's natural. Here's the problem. Y'all heard the old saying, they say it's an old Indian saying. The Indian chief said, you have inside you a white dog and a black dog, and they're always fighting. And his son said, well, Father, which one wins? And he says, well, whichever one you feed the most. You see, if we are content with living out of that natural man like this world does, number one, our light is not going to shine. And number two, the world's going to look at us and not see any difference in us and anybody else in the world. But look what Jesus said. Jesus said, if someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn and offer them the other one. Now listen, to the natural man, that sounds insane. There is no way. Listen, I have heard church people tell me there is no way I'm going to do that. Do you understand what we say when we let that nature grab a hold of us, say there's no way that I can live that way? What we're saying is there's no way I'm going to be like Jesus. Isn't that true? If someone strikes you on your left cheek, turn and off, or on your right cheek, turn and offer the other one. Well, it doesn't matter, really. Listen, what does it take to have that kind of a response? When somebody is angry and they slap you, and you're just like, hey, look, if you want to hit me, go on and hit me. And you don't respond with violence. Y'all, the world is amazed when they see that kind of behavior. The world isn't used to that. And when someone does step out in the power of Christ and they behave that way, the world goes, whoa, that's different. Boy, that's weird. Do you know what it's like? It's like turning on a light bulb and you see something you didn't see before. That's what it means to let your light shine. But how many of us are letting that light shine? We're content to fall back on that old nature and respond like everybody else would respond. And we have good excuses. Everybody does it. You know what? The sermon I preached last Sunday about the broad road, we could say, well, everybody's going to hell. You want to go with them? That's a really good philosophy. Let's just do what everybody else does. Jesus said, many find that broad road, but there's very few that find the narrow road. You know what that tells me? That tells me not only are not all Baptists going to heaven, but there may be a lot of people that call themselves Christians that may not make it. You know why? Because they fooled themselves into thinking I can live in darkness and still be a child of God. Now look what he says. If it's not bad enough now, Jesus said, turn and offer the other cheek. Look what he says. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your coat as well. Now, I want you to understand something. This isn't like, hey, Dave, could I borrow your coat? And him take his shirt off and give it to me too. That's not, he says if somebody sues you. I mean, when it comes to a lawsuit, that's getting pretty serious, right? That somebody has such a problem with you that they take you to court and they sue you. And you know what it says? Give them more than they ask for. Boy, I can feel that natural man in me saying, what? That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. In fact, what I'm going to do, could you imagine going to your lawyer and saying, so-and-so is suing me for $1,000, but I want to give him two. Could you imagine what your lawyer, how he would look at you? He would be like that dog when you trying to talk to him and he goes, listen, that's what Jesus said to do. That is so against our nature, that natural man. But it's what it looks like to let your light shine, because when you act that way, I can promise you, somebody's going to notice, aren't they? I can remember a time when I used to hear a lot of testimonies about somebody would say, you know, somebody at work said, you know, you're different. What is it about you? And they got to share with them. I love what the scripture says. Take every top opportunity to share with people about the hope that you have within you. And I don't hear many testimonies like that anymore. And you know why I think we don't hear them? And look, I'm guilty too. We're putting our light under a bowl. People aren't seeing the difference that Jesus makes, because we have become satisfied just to follow the pattern of this world and live after that natural man. Well, let's go on. It gets worse. Listen to what Jesus says. He says in verse 41, and if somebody forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Now, it'd be one thing if this said, if some, you know, all of us do this, especially with people we like. You know, somebody says, hey, could you carry this with me and help me get, and hey, man, I'll carry it, and you may go even further. This says, if someone forces you to go 1 mile. This isn't asking for a favor. This is somebody putting a gun to you and saying, you're going with me 1 mile. They're forcing you to do it. Now, how do we feel when somebody forces us to do something? We feel like our kids feel when we tell them, yes, you are going to do this, right? Because I said so. That old natural man bows up inside. Have you ever felt that? I've felt that in me, gotten so angry that natural man inside of me just bows up inside of me, and it's all I want to do. There ain't no way that I want to do whatever somebody's trying to force me to do. You know what's really sad? We do that in our families. The very place where we ought to be the most giving, the most understanding, the most compassionate. And we let that natural man bow up because we feel like family members are trying to force us to do what we don't want to do. Jesus said, if a man forces you to go 1 mile, go with him two. Picture this. Guy pulls a gun on me and says, you're going to carry this for 1 mile for me. I said, man, put that gun away. I'll walk with you 2 miles. In fact, I'll go 3 miles. Come on. See, that's when the world looks at us like, what is this? The light switch goes on, and we're letting our light shine so that the world can see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's what we're supposed to be doing, but we walk around with a bowl over our light. Now look what he says. Somebody's saying, all right, that's enough with that. It's already getting difficult. Look what he says. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. That natural man in me, that makes all the sense in the world. Love your friends and hate your enemies. That's easy, isn't it? That's what I want to do. I want to do that. I can love my friends who love me. But when somebody is an enemy and they're mistreating me, I can hate them. And I feel fully justified. Can I tell you what the most obscene thing that can happen in the church of God? And it happens all the time. It's for a child of God to hate. That's almost like an oxymoron. I mean, it ought to be like trying to mix oil and water together. It just shouldn't happen. It shouldn't work. And yet I see churches where church members are just hate each other so much so that they are not going to worship anymore together. There's something wrong with that picture. Where is the light shining? No wonder the world can't see God. And you understand, that's the whole point of the light shining. It runs the darkness away, and all of a sudden the world can see Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about. And yet we're not satisfied to do that. We lean back on that old natural nature, and that's the way we're going to do things. Because it feels like that's what we ought to do. Can I tell you something? To let your light shine doesn't feel right. It just doesn't. Because it's completely against our human nature. I heard someone one time say, if you really want to live for God, what you need to do is decide what you want to do and do the opposite. You know, I think there's a lot of truth in that. Because it doesn't feel right. How many people do I hear, well, I'm going to do such and such and such and such when I feel like it's time, or when I feel like it, when the Holy Spirit makes me feel that way? Let me tell you something. Our feelings get us in a lot of trouble. If we're going to wait till we feel like it, We're never going to let our light shine. We're never going to do what God wants us to do. Let me tell you something. When is it going to feel right to turn it off or the other cheek? When is it going to feel right that if somebody sues you for your coat, you give them your cloak also? When is it going to feel right that you love your neighbor and then you love your enemies too? In fact, it goes on and says, pray for those that persecute you. I don't want to do that. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That's my natural man speaking. You know what the spiritual man says? God knows what he's talking about. God wrote the instruction manual to tell me how to live this life and live it to the full, and I need to trust him. And even though in my nature I don't understand it, I need to have enough faith in him that, you know what, I'm going to pray for my enemies. In fact, the Bible says the best way you can get your enemies is to pray and love them and pray for them, because you'll be heaping coals of fire on their head. That sounds pretty good to me, doesn't it, to you? And when we can trust what God says and do it the way he says to do it, our light is going to shine. But we're walking around with a light that's under a bowl. And the world looks at us and they say, I don't see any difference in you and anybody else. Why should I listen to anything you have to say? But when that light shines, when you start doing the things that Jesus said are going to make that light shine, and read it. The whole sermon is about being the salt of the earth and being the light of the world. And then he tells you what it's going to look like. If you are the light of the world and you are the salt of the earth. And I promise you, you do those things Jesus said to do that our nature says, that's crazy. Do you understand? It has to be that way. What is going to attract the world's attention? It's when they see something they didn't expect. When they see who God is, and it's crazy. They're going to start to say, whoa, this is different. I need to take notice of this. And our light is going to shine and dispel the darkness. The Bible says that our enemy, the devil, has blinded the eyes of those who are perishing. We need light to get rid of the blindness so that they can see what God is really like. Now here's the bottom line, and I'm going to close with this. The Bible tells Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, he doesn't come out and say it, but it's implied in everything that he says, is that if you're going to live the way God wants you to, it's going to be completely opposite of our natural desires. And yet, time after time after time, I see Christians that live by their natural nature. Now, y'all, what I want to say to you is, what does that say about us? What does it say about us if we claim to love and serve Jesus? Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. So if I'm not letting my light shine, and if I'm not, I'm saying that's crazy, I'm living the way it feels like I should live, then I'm not obeying his commands. And my question is, do I really love him? I mean, that's a serious question. Some of us have deep down in our soul, we might never voice it in words, but deep down in our hearts, we're like, if that's what it means to live for Jesus, you can forget it. What does that say about us? I'm not letting my light shine like that. Listen, Jesus said, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works. By the way, I got to tell you something here. He says, let your light shine, don't make it shine. You know what else I see in the church today? I see a lot of people that are making their light shine. It's like they're taking their lamp and going, come on. And yet, if it's not really the light of God, what good is it going to do? They try to prove to everybody how spiritual they are. Can I tell you something? If your light is really shining, if you're really doing the things that Jesus said to do, love your enemies, if you're really turning the other cheek when somebody offends you, if you're really, somebody asks you to do something, you do more. Let me tell you something. That light is going to glow. And it's going to glow so bright that people are going to notice. And what's going to be, what that light is going to shine on is not you. It's Jesus. See, what we're trying to do, we're fanning that light, but we're fanning it toward ourselves. Look at me. That's not the light he's talking about. So I want to ask you today, listen, it's going to be completely opposite of our nature. So I want to ask you, when is it going to be time that we decide, I'm going to start looking at everything I do, and I'm going to make sure my light is shining, not that I'm putting it under a bowl. Recognizing it's going to be crazy. There's a book that many of you are familiar with. It's called In His Steps. And it reminded me of the movie Do You Believe? In the book In His Steps, the pastor challenged his church, before you ever make a decision, before you do anything, you ask yourself, what would Jesus do? And then do it, no matter what the cost. In the movie Do You Believe? The pastor gave everybody a little cross, and he said, you carry it with you, and you let that be a reminder of what Jesus did for you and that you're to live for him. What will it take for us at First Baptist to say, you know what? My light's shining, and I don't care what it costs. I'm going to shine the light of Jesus Christ to everyone around me. We need to figure out what that's going to look like. It's not going to feel right. It's going to feel very wrong because we're so used to living after this human nature. But it's not going to happen by accident. I believe a lot of church members sit there and say, well, I love Jesus and I pray and I read my Bible, so my light will shine. No, it won't. It will not shine unless you let it shine. It has to be something that's intentional. You don't make it shine, but you let it shine. And you let it shine by taking up your cross, dying to yourself, and following Jesus daily. Now, what's it going to take for us to do that? Y'all, we're not winning Citronelle. We're not seeing people convicted of their sin because they know us. What's it going to take for that to happen? Let me tell you something. The Word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the point of joints and marrow and to the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. The Word of God is our power, is our source. And we're to trust what God says and let that light shine. What about it? What about you? Let's pray. Father, this morning I pray that you would just touch our hearts and speak to us. We live in a city that is desperate. We live in a state, in a world that is desperate. Lord, it's growing darker by the minute. And Lord, we've gotten so used to the darkness that we're satisfied just to let it grow darker and darker. Lord, I'm praying that you would just burn the light of Jesus Christ in our souls so bright that we can't stand it, and that we have to say, I'm not living anymore by my natural nature because I'm defeating what Jesus has done in my soul. And Lord, I pray that you would give us the conviction of the Holy Spirit that it means that we have to be different. Help us to turn the other cheek. Help us to love our enemies. help us to give more than is asked of us. Help us to be like Jesus. Lord, I ask you just to speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name.